Today, Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell used unusually blunt language in the ongoing budget battle, saying President Obama is relying on gimmicks in his proposal for budget cuts, and that as long as this president is in office, a real solution is unattainable. But McConnell also said Republicans would do the responsible thing and ensure that the government doesn't default, a reference to the August 2nd deadline to raise the debt ceiling or lose the government's ability to borrow money. Well, not all Republicans are in line with McConnell. Presidential candidate Michelle Bachmann dismisses the idea that default is imminent. She calls that scare tactics. After Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner warned default could cause catastrophic damage to the economy, Bachmann's fellow Republican, Senator Jim DeMintz, had this to say.
I'm questioning what he's saying because we are not going to default. We've got enough tax revenue to pay our bills. It certainly will be disruptive if we continue on the track we're going right now. But we have enough assets in Social Security, Medicare Trust Fund to pay those benefits for several years if necessary. It's not ideal, but we don't need to panic and rush into a deal.
So there's the thinking that default is not imminent, but other Republicans dismiss the idea that default is necessarily a bad thing if it makes government smaller. So what is true about default and the debt ceiling? Lori Montgomery is domestic economic policy reporter for The Washington Post. She joins us from the Capitol. And we're just going to settle in here, Lori, to get some questions answered. Can you start with the basics? We know the debt ceiling is the amount of money the government can borrow. The U.S. hit the debt ceiling $14,294,000,000,000 on May 16th. So how is the government operating normally now?
The government is operating normally now in two ways. Number one, people are still paying their taxes. So the two big sources of cash to finance the government, of the two big sources of cash, borrowing and tax revenue, one of them is still coming in. And in general, over the course of the year, tax revenue and other forms of revenue cover about 60% of what we spend. So we're borrowing 40%.
And a little more of the history there, the idea that there is even a cap on borrowing. The first debt ceiling limit was set in 1917. It was a mere $11.5 billion. It was set to help Congress control spending, right?
Ironically, it was set to help the Treasury borrow more efficiently. Because up until then, Congress had to approve every single issuance of debt by the U.S. Treasury. And so as we were heading into World War I, the decision was made, look, you know, we can't be micromanaging this. The Treasury's got to be free to generate the cash that we need to fight. So we're going to set a debt ceiling, and we're going to let them operate at will under that debt ceiling. So, you know, the original goal of the thing was to make it easier for Treasury to borrow.
Yeah. Well, and they have. The debt ceiling has been raised more than 70 times in the last half century, 49 times under Republican presidents, 29 times under Democratic ones, I believe 7 times under George W. Bush. In fact, here's Mitch Daniels in 2002. He was then Bush budget director, explaining to the late reporter Tim Russert why it was necessary to raise the debt ceiling.
We're going to raise it as a responsible government must. This is really housekeeping, Tim. This has nothing to say and nothing to do with future spending. This simply reflects decisions made in the past, and it ought to be treated as the housekeeping matter it is.
Well, so there is a Republican back in 2002 very much for raising the debt ceiling. We also know that in 2006, then-Senator Barack Obama was against raising it. He's explained that that was a political vote, protesting a budget for the Iraq War. And so we'll get to today's protest of the debt ceiling. But first, just get to the big million-dollar or trillion-dollar question. What do most economists say? First of all, will there be a default if the debt ceiling isn't raised or the plan for it to be raised by August 2nd?
Well, it kind of depends on what you mean by default. So what will happen on August 2nd is that we will no longer be able to juggle the books in a way that permits us to pay everybody. And you've got a number of problems. I mean, some people say, and this is coming from the Republican side, well, we just pay the interest on the debt, keep our investors happy, no default. Well, A, it's not clear that that's even possible. Even though theoretically we have the money, will we have the $500 billion we need on August 15th to pay off a giant sum that's coming due? And we, in fact, owe investors $500 billion on August 15th. And without borrowing to help you sort of smooth out your cash flow, it's not clear that that money would be there. But moreover, you know, somebody wouldn't get paid. I believe Social Security checks go out on August 1st. That is by far the biggest expense of government. I don't know when soldiers get paid, but something like 50% of federal employees are military employees. So, you know, you, at some point you've got to stop sending the checks out because you don't have the money. And what Republicans are arguing is, well, as long as you keep paying investors, that's not default. But if you talk to other economists and financial analysts, they say, yeah, well, you know, the markets are going to view any failure to pay the bills as a pretty bad sign.
Well, all the major ratings agencies are warning the U.S. that the nation would lose its AAA credit rating, maybe downgraded to junk. Other countries come to mind with that grading. And as you're saying, at a certain point, let's say you want to just pay off interest, although many families will tell you how ruinous that can be when they've tried to do that, let's say, with mortgages or credit cards. But at a certain point, as you say, you have to borrow, and if you've got a junk rating, you can't.
Well, and plus we don't have the option of just paying our interest. I mean, this is not a credit card. These are bonds that are purchased by investors who, when the term is up, expect their money back. So this sum that is due on August 15th, for example, that's principal, and we got to pay those people back, or in fact, we will be looking at the junk bond rating, and our borrowing costs will soar.
Lori Montgomery, she's domestic economic policy reporter for The Washington Post. We're having the conversation as President Obama and Democrats say that a decision has to be made on coming to some sort of a compromise on the budget in order to raise the debt ceiling by August 2nd. If not, the country goes into default. Lori pointing out that there are huge payments on U.S. debt that have to be made by August 15th and that eventually the country would have to borrow, but if it goes into a form of default, it loses its credit rating. And Lori, you know, pick up there onto what some of the pushback to that has been. You've got Senator Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania saying all the U.S. would have to do is lay out a law saying who gets paid first, and there'd be no default, just sudden drastic spending cuts like furloughing federal workers or delaying welfare payments.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of problems with Senator Toomey's theory. He acknowledges that this is not a long-term strategy. He's a former bond trader himself, and he says, look, the markets would understand if we didn't send out Social Security checks. That's not the same thing as defaulting. But if you talk to him, he will acknowledge that this is not a strategy for managing the country. This is a stopgap strategy for getting you through a couple of weeks while you're trying to work out your differences. Moreover, it is not clear that he's right. I mean, the bottom line is no one actually knows what will happen because it has only happened once before in a very limited way. So you have economists and financial analysts saying it would be cataclysmic. The head of PIMCO has told us that he thinks he would see interest rates skyrocket immediately by at least a half a percentage point. And, you know, the only previous evidence we have is from this brief and technical default that occurred in 1979 when there was another fight over the debt limit. They pushed it right up to the edge, and an increased demand for Treasury coupled with a computing glitch led us to actually default on a couple hundred million dollars worth of bonds very briefly. And a recent academic study suggests that even that brief default cost us billions of dollars in higher interest payments because of uncertainty in the market.
Well, and there's also a concern about job loss. You hear Pat Toomey saying, well, just furlough workers. But the centrist Democratic think tank Third Way says there will be 642,000 jobs lost. You talked about higher rates. They say $19,000 will be added to every mortgage. $8,800 will be lopped off of the average 401k. You know, that's their crunching of the numbers. But just a little pushback here from your colleague, Glenn Kessler. He wrote a fact checker piece recently. He said that basically the debate, the whole debate over the debt ceiling is what filmmaker Hitchcock, you know, Alfred Hitchcock, used to call a MacGuffin, just a plot device, you know, just something to push forward the plot, which in this case is, you know, a debate over cuts and, you know, whether or not you get rid of tax breaks or you make cuts in entitlement programs. So you can't get inside his head, but is that, you know, that's what many Republicans are saying, that's really what this is about at heart and not really about collapse.
I guess on some level that's true. I mean, they are forcing us to have a debate about, you know, a debate that we need to have, frankly, about how we're going to pay for the government that we've approved, that they've helped to build over the last decade. And it's also true that there's no reason to tie that particular debate to the debt limit. However, it is, you know, it's astonishing to me that we're still having this conversation about whether or not the debt limit has to be increased, because not a single leader in either party has questioned the need to do it.
Well, but members of at least one party have. Adam Brandon, who's a spokesperson for FreedomWorks, that's the group founded by former House Majority Leader Dick Armey that helped, of course, start the Tea Party movement. He estimates that about 50 Republicans in the House and some in the Senate are willing to let the deadline pass without raising the debt limit. And this brings us to the thinking on the part of many newly elected Tea Party-backed Republicans who say, you know, so what? Maybe we make government smaller. They hear Senator Toomey say, delay welfare payments, furlough federal workers. And in their minds, that's a good thing.
Well, I think that they might change their minds when the Social Security checks stop going out. I mean, a 40% cut to the federal government at this moment, you know, we don't even need to talk about default. That would be an economic cataclysm all by itself. To remove that kind of spending from the economy at this moment, I think it would be difficult to find an economist, a credible economist, who would say that that is a smart thing to do. You're talking about a collapse of a major sector of the economy if you try to make that level of cuts. And for people to, you know, this is why the leadership of both parties are saying the debt limit has to be increased. And this is why responsible people are saying, no, we are not going to let a default happen. And the backbenchers and the, you know, and some of the Republican presidential candidates who are trying to gain political advantage here are, you know, Democrats would say are being irresponsible, and I think most economists would agree with them.
Well, and by the way, you mentioned, you know, military paychecks as well. They do go out on the 1st and the 15th of the month, and you're talking about August 15th being the drop-dead date for the U.S. to pay back a portion of a huge debt, and those military checks, maybe not as big, but they're going out then as well, and that would be quite painful as well.
Yeah, I mean, just think about the impact on the broader economy if you were to dock the pay of every soldier in the country by 40%. You know, people would be losing their houses. People would be losing their cars. People would be going into bankruptcy. I mean, that it's easy to talk about furloughing federal workers, but you have to ask, you know, whether that's really an economic impact we want to have right now.
Lori Montgomery with our primer on the debt ceiling. She's domestic economic policy reporter for The Washington Post. Lori, thanks so much.
Sure thing.